Welcome, everybody. It is Andrew here for this week's episode of HomeKit Insider. And do not worry, I have taken a lasso, thrown it around one of Steven's legs as he was trying to run away, and dragged him back here for this week's episode. So, Steven, thank you for forcibly being here today.
Absolutely, and it is not forcibly. I love doing this. Man, I was up in the mountains for a couple weeks in North Carolina. It was wonderful up there. You know, I live in Florida, and as I came back, it was immediately 98 degrees. While on the mountain, it was like 60s, and it was beautiful. So, thank you for allowing 2 weeks of vacation, and I'm excited to be back. And man, so much has happened since I've been gone. So
I know.
Yeah, man, let's hit it. First of all, Eufy had that firmware update. I know you had talked about it on previous episodes that they were talking about releasing it, and now the firmware update came out, and so Eufy indoor camera gets HomeKit secure video too, not just regular HomeKit video. This is the secure video update.
Yeah, that was good. They've been doing so much. It's hard to keep these kind of names straight and updates and what is getting HomeKit versus HSV, like all of that. Because not only did they launch their firmware for that one, but they also launched another new camera, the Eufy Cam 2 Pro 2K, which is an indoor-outdoor camera. It comes with HomeKit out of the box, and it shoots in 2K video, at least when you're using, you know, the Eufy app, because HomeKit only supports 1080p. So another new camera from Eufy launching with HomeKit. So just more from Eufy in general, but more HomeKit cameras in general, which is always good.
That's awesome. Now, the original Eufy 2K that just got the firmware update, that still requires a hub. Is that correct?
I think so, but I'm not 100%. Again, I cannot keep all the Eufy cams straight at this point, and yeah, I'm trying to even pin down which ones I have sitting here in my studio to review and not review, and all the differences between them all.
Well, bottom line is, Eufy now has a ton of cameras. They did deliver on their firmware update promise, and it was actually able to deliver HomeKit secure video with that update. And so if you're interested in these, now you have reviews coming on some of these cameras, is that right?
Yes, I know I have at least two of these sitting here in my studio right now. We are waiting for some of those updates to roll out before we finished all of our reviews. So now that updates are here, we're going to start rolling out these reviews.
Awesome. Well, another piece of news, Wink, we had talked about that they were going to require a subscription fee for just using their Wink products. They delayed a couple times on when that subscription would go into effect. And now it is official on July 27th, so just in a couple weeks, that $5 subscription will take effect. And so if you want to continue using your Wink products, it's $5 a month, kind of required. I mean, what happens if you don't pay it? I guess you just don't get the service, like the cloud services, and
yeah, so there is a limitation. So you can still use them, but they are very much handicapped. You are losing a lot of functionality that was free before. So they didn't take like their existing products, introduce a paid tier that has a bunch of additional features. They literally are taking their previously free product and then tacking on a subscription to that for almost everything. If you don't pay that, you know, $5 a month subscription fee, you cannot even add new devices. You can't update the firmware on your hubs. You can't use any voice control. You cannot have remote access of your home, and a bunch more. So they've taken away a lot of, I mean, just basic features like adding new devices. Like, what the heck is that? If you wanted to use it free, I feel like you should be able to use it free and be able to at least add new devices, even if they, you know, barely function with all those other limitations. But the fact that you can't even, you know, add new devices seems backward almost. They're just really almost forcing everyone to use that subscription service if you want to continue to use Wink.
Man, that's wild. There'll be a link to show notes of that article. If you have Wink products and are choosing not to pay the subscription, or you are, we'd love to hear from you. You can hit us up on Twitter, use the hashtag HomeKit Insider, or you can just tweet at Andrew or I. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes. Let us know what you think of it, if you're going to pay it, if not. And if you don't, and it hits that July 27th date, let us know what happens. How not useful do your devices become after that point?
And if you're looking for another option, might we suggest HomeKit? There is no subscription fee.
Yes, exactly. As speaking of another HomeKit device, so Arlo launched a new camera. This is the Arlo Ultra 2, only available at Costco, which seems like an interesting exclusive. But what are the main benefits here? The Arlo Ultra 2. I don't know why I can't. I'm struggling to say that today. Right. Arlo.
These names, man. These names are getting hard. So the Arlo Ultra is one of my favorite cameras. I like Arlo in general. Their stuff has always been very reliable for me. I have my outside of my house blanketed in Arlo cameras because I think they do a good job. They have very high quality recording, and I actually do like their subscription plan, especially for like my front facing ones that are able to do a better job than HomeKit at detecting, you know, different things, whether it's packages or people or vehicles, all that kind of stuff. So the Arlo Ultra launched at CES like a year ago, year and a half or so now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 4K camera and has a bunch of other stuff, you know, wire-free, indoor-outdoor, integrated spotlight, built-in sirens, color night vision, easily rechargeable battery, two-way audio, 180-degree viewing angle, all that kind of stuff. Great camera. So the Arlo Ultra 2 is basically the exact same thing, but it has dual-band Wi-Fi and enhanced connectivity range.
Hmm.
Those are really the only differences between the original Arlo Ultra and the Arlo Ultra 2. So if you got the Arlo Ultra and you love it, don't think you have to run out and go buy the second gen version to upgrade from that. It's really just kind of, they're just very small changes. You know, they're increasing that Wi-Fi range and giving you dual band Wi-Fi. So you're going to get better performance there, but still, it's not a huge change. And it still comes with a trial for Arlo Smart. I believe the original one came with like a year long trial, but the second gen version here that's launching just at Costco comes with a 3-month trial, and that gives you 4K cloud recording. So otherwise it's 4K local recording and streaming on like from your Bridge hub device. It gives you the advanced object detection, E911, and a few other things. E911 is really cool. If you haven't heard about that before, basically you see something going on in your home. You're away. Say I'm, you know, my Arlo camera is here at my house and I am out at CES and I see something happening. Someone's breaking in. You have that smart notification that pops up with a 911 and I can tap on, you know, call 911 and it'll actually route it to the local 911 services where my house is located, not where I'm calling from.
Nice.
Because if I'm calling in Las Vegas, they're going to have to route me back to, you know, Columbus and then to where my house is.
Right. You spend a lot of time there? Is that why?
So, well, that was because I was, you know, obviously we go to CES every year and
it's... Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm just thinking of like when I'm out at trade shows and stuff like that and watching over my house for like a week away.
Yeah.
I always just think of that. So that's a good example for me.
Good. No. That's good.
I like that though. That's a smart idea.
Do these come with HomeKit?
Yeah. So they support HomeKit out of the box, not HomeKit secure video.
Right.
I think because the limitations with HomeKit in general, which is, you know, 1080p streaming. If you got the Arlo 4K, Arlo Ultra 4K, you want 4K resolution, which you're only going to really get through the Arlo app. So I feel like if you get secure video and you're recording everything through there, all your recordings and everything are limited to 1080p, where they're all higher resolution through Arlo.
True. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about HomeKit secure video, because I was away from my house and got a chance to kind of see how my cameras would do without me. And my Logitech Circle View, my HomeKit secure video camera here, worked great. I got a bunch of notifications when there was movement and was able to access the video stream. I figured out how to download clips to my camera roll, and so that's super easy. But I have to say, its detection on what's a human was pretty off. There was actually never a human. I had the camera on my back porch kind of thing. And so if there was ever a human actually detected there, I would be really concerned because it's like a fence and there's no one should be back there. No one was coming by the house at all or doing any kind of work. So, but then I got notifications, I would say maybe like 3 to 4 times a week that a person was detected, a human. And every time I went to check it, it was usually at night. It was like a big moth or a couple moths or something like that. For some reason, I don't know. It thinks that's a human. I did get several animal detections, and there was like some outside cat that was walking around our yard. And so that correctly distinguished a pet or animal. And so that was cool. But let me ask you, have you ever had weird notifications saying something was a human and it wasn't?
Yeah. Do you not remember one of our earlier episodes of HomeKit Insider when I complained about my...
Yes, your dog, right?
Logitech Circle, like, no, it's my cat. My cat, like, running through the basement, and it's like, there's a human down there. I'm like, that is not a human, that's a cat.
That's right.
Which, that's not on, you know, Logitech.
No.
That is on,
right,
you know, Apple and HomeKit. Because all that HomeKit processing is done locally on your home hub, your Apple TV, your HomePod. That is what's doing that object recognition. And it definitely has a ways to go.
Okay, right. That was interesting. Yeah, and I don't know. I don't want to turn it off because if there actually ever is a human there, I want to know. But I don't distinguish the moth. I'll keep you updated if that changes at all. But that's interesting. You know, they're going to be doing facial recognition with all the iOS 14 and tvOS 14 stuff in the fall, be able to recognize exactly who's at the door, but it still thinks a moth is a human. So I'm not sure.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's just using like size right now. And it's at night. This always happens at night. This is not during the day. But I don't know if it's just the sheer mass of something that is in range of the camera that it triggers. It's a human because it can't. It's too big to be a dog. I don't know. So anyway, we'll keep you posted on that. But speaking about HomeKit Secure Video, you had a bunch of reviews go up recently, and one of them being the Eve Cam, which we gave away one of them, and then you reviewed it, and I think we have another special announcement in a bit. But tell us about your full Eve Cam review.
The Eve Cam, we've been really excited about this for a while. They announced these at CES, and I've just been waiting to get my hands on one. I have a bunch of other Eve products here, and they are just really, really reliable, and they were the first ones kind of announced to exclusively support HomeKit Secure Video. Since the original announcement, we've seen other ones trickle out with HomeKit Secure Video. We've seen the Logitech Circle View coming out, supporting only HomeKit Secure Video. And a lot of people were interested in the Eve Cam. Basic specs here, I think it's like a 150-degree field of view lens. It is an indoor camera. It powers up over micro USB, which honestly is a problem for me. It's a huge disappointment for me, honestly, to see micro USB. It's kind of weird to be focusing so much on just the power cable of a camera, but I think it's unacceptable for a product to launch in 2020 using micro USB rather than USB-C.
Agreed.
And I know a lot of it comes down to, you know, your margins and how expensive it is to implement Type-C over micro USB. But even as Apple users, I don't have a lot of micro USB cables around. Like, honestly, it's a struggle to kind of find one when I need one because all my stuff is Lightning and Type-C. My Mac, everything is all, you know, Type-C now. My cameras are Type-C. GoPro is my Nikon. I'm trying to think of what else I like lying around here. But everything is Type-C.
Your iPhone 12 is USB-C? Just kidding.
Now that's going to be Lightning. You know that. Yeah, so launching with micro USB is definitely a bummer for me. But it's otherwise a solid camera. Of course, 1080p resolution because it's HomeKit. And it supports HomeKit Secure Video. And I actually got to test this one fully with iOS 14, which was kind of fun because I got to play around with those new features like zones and facial recognition. So that's kind of like a preview. Obviously, the whole review of this is linked in the show notes, and we have a video and everything. So we'll just touch on kind of like the high-level points that I kind of was getting here.
Yeah.
We ended up mounting ours up in my kitchen, which kind of overlooks the kitchen as well as the dining room and our living room a little bit. And I used zones to section off just my kitchen. So that way things in the living room and the dining room window were not triggering my camera. And that helped a ton because if I'm getting motion detected like in the living room, originally was setting off both cameras, my camera in the living room and the camera in my kitchen. And of course, the camera in the kitchen is going to be really far away and not as useful anyway. So I really wanted just my living room camera to go off. So I was able to use zones to just focus in on the kitchen and not have the window set things off as well. So that definitely helped using the zones on there. Facial recognition seems very early. It doesn't seem to do a whole lot yet. I'm not sure how they're going to roll out more control over notifications or anything like that. But I was able to see in the home app like faces being spotted and stuff like that, which was very cool to see. The camera itself, it worked exactly as it should. It was 100% rock solid reliable. It was always responsive when I asked to pull it up or start a live feed. Night vision worked great. They say 5 meters of night range, and I had this mounted pretty high up in the air, and I was still able to see my entire kitchen very clearly. Motion detection with HomeKit, obviously a little bit hit or miss, but it was able to a lot of the times detect when I had animals walking through my kitchen, my dogs walking through my kitchen and stuff like that. All that worked great. A lot of people were kind of commenting on preference between the Eve Cam and the Circle View and which one to lean towards. And considering they both support HomeKit Secure Video and 1080p and everything like that, functionality-wise, there's almost no differences. I would say the Circle View is better if you have a smaller room because it has such a wide field of view, it's got like a 170 degree lens or something like that versus the 150 or so on the Eve Cam. So you have a small, tight space, that wider field of view might be better. For my kitchen, where things were more away, I preferred the 150 degree field of view just because it didn't get extra stuff in my shot and there was no distortion going on. So I liked the Eve Cam for that. And then the final thing was kind of surprising, which is another iOS 14 thing. And I wouldn't have known about this if it was not for iOS 14. So iOS 14 will let you know when any of your cameras go offline and then when they come back online.
Nice.
I have been getting a lot of notifications of my Circle View going offline. A lot. Now, most of the time, 95% of the time, it lasts for 5 seconds and the camera's back available. That's all. So it's literally just down. A few seconds later, it's back online again. But my Eve Cam, not once has it gone offline since it was installed.
Interesting.
If I was looking at these two cameras and I was really trying to decide between the two, I would lean towards the Eve Cam just because it does have that higher reliability factor, at least in my testing. Everything else seems pretty much spot on. The Circle View actually, I think, wins in build quality because it has more of a metal body versus the plastic of the Eve Cam. And the Circle View does use USB-C rather than micro USB.
Right.
Eve also does a lot with their app. Their app is just phenomenal in general. We've talked about it before. And they did a lot of little updates just for, you know, HomeKit here with their camera coming out. So when you pull up the camera inside of the Eve app, they have a nice interface for talking to people and toggling off settings. They have a handy little graph that shows motion over time. The last time motion was detected and gives you a kind of like a bar graph of when motion was detected throughout the day. So I like that as well. But I'm pretty sure that'll work with other cameras and not just the Eve Cam, but I haven't really pulled up any other cameras in the Eve app to test it out. So it's very much a toss-up. But for the reliability factor alone, even with just those couple of seconds, makes me nervous it goes offline at all. So I lean towards the Eve Cam by just a hair.
That's interesting. And you know, with the micro USB thing though, it is a detachable cable, right? Mm-hmm. From the Eve Cam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which that is nice. Cause as I was sitting on my Logitech Circle View, that cable is melded to the back. I don't know how else to explain it, but you can't detach the cable.
Yes, it is one part. And I think that is a huge factor. I mean, we got animals around here. We got bunnies. So if that bunny decides to go and, you know, he's wandering around the house one day and decides to start chewing on my Circle View camera, I can't replace that cable, where you can replace it on the Eve Cam. So I guess maybe that's how, you know, Circle got away with, I mean, it's USB-C on the other side, but the part that goes into the camera is still, you know, just hardwired in there. So of course that's going to save you money because you don't have to put a port on there and make it detachable.
Right.
So I think that's definitely a thing. You can replace the cables on the Eve Cam, which is absolutely better.
Very cool. I'm looking at getting one. I think they're in stock now. I think you can get one.
Yeah, they are. They are on Amazon. $150 right now at launch on Amazon. Link is in the show notes. Great cameras. I love HomeKit Secure Video, and especially with iOS 14, it's getting so much better. I really like Zones and everything else. It's going to be a good update.
Awesome. And then you had another review. Oh, this one was the August lock, which we had talked about before, but this is now the new August lock. The Wi-Fi version. Tell me, what was your experience with that?
It's an August lock, so it's very similar. So functionality-wise, this is the exact same as the August Smart Lock Pro.
Right.
You're not really going to get any new features going to this one. So if you're trying to, like, if you have the Smart Lock Pro and, like, should I upgrade? Probably not, unless you really want the changes that August implemented. I think this is going to be the product for people who are looking for smart locks, and people who maybe have a really early version of the August and have been kind of waiting to upgrade for something new. So it is a lot smaller. It's like 40% smaller by volume, and it's even slimmer as well. August actually says that they made it the size of a doorknob because it, and this is like their quote, was, it screams, turn me.
Right.
Because a lot of people complained. Jeff on our team here, he actually said that he had people who were like visiting or something and they didn't know how to like get out because they didn't know what they didn't know to turn the August. People just, they kind of see it and it's that cylinder and they're not sure what to do. And it kind of, as the people who install them, you know, like you, me, we obviously know those things and we don't even think right. about that. And it was kind of surprising to me the first time that I had, my mother-in-law was over and she goes to leave and she looked at the door, she goes, what's this? How do I get out. And mind you, there's a door handle right there.
Yeah.
And this is just mounted above it. And people didn't even think to just open the door like you normally would. So I think that was actually a big problem for them that I never considered with the original August ones that I've had for years. So the fact they shrunk the size so much and makes it more obvious that it needs to be turned, I think is going to go a long way towards usability. So huge, huge, huge size difference. Look at the full review and show notes, and you can actually see pictures and video comparing the sizes. It's drastic. So that's definitely a welcomed change for the August. The next thing is they actually built in Wi-Fi completely into the lock. So it used to use a separate external August Connect module. So you would plug this in to the wall near your August. Bluetooth goes from the August to the Connect module, and the Connect module hops you on online. Doesn't worry about battery life, you know, just makes everything easier. This version, they've actually been able to cram all that Wi-Fi tech into the lock itself, which I think is huge. And they still say you can get 3 to 6 months battery life off of this thing with just regular usage. Now, they did change the batteries. They are using CR123 batteries versus like AA batteries. Some people kind of like balked at that, like, oh, I'm not buying a lock that uses weird batteries. But in my case, like, these things are available everywhere. Like, I was just looking around, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, CVS all had these batteries just in stock in their local stores.
Yeah.
So to me, that made no difference. I mean, those are the places that I would go looking for batteries, and they have them in stock. You can also buy a 12 pack on Amazon for $20. Which doesn't seem like anything. I'd buy a 12 pack and just let them, you know, have them here in my studio. Yeah. If I ever need to replace my lock batteries, boom, I got them. And of course, the app's going to alert you ahead of time before those batteries die, so you can swap those out. So I was not put off by the change in batteries. I'd much prefer this new, smaller size than worrying about what kind of battery it used. Lock itself feels a lot smoother when you're locking and unlocking. Previous generations felt almost like a little bit mechanical. Like as you turned it, you can almost kind of feel the gears and the motor kind of moving a bit as you turned it. Whereas this new one, it feels just buttery smooth. You turn it and there's no kind of weirdness going on. It just feels very smooth and natural. So I really like kind of just the refinements in the device itself there. This does come with your DoorSense module. So if you aren't familiar with DoorSense, this again has been around with previous versions of the August. August Pro shipped with this. So this is not new for the August Wi-Fi smart lock, but it's going to go into your door frame, depending on what your door frame is. You can put it on the outside of the door frame where it's a little more conspicuous, or just drill a 5/8 inch hole and slide the magnet into it, and then boom, you are good to go. It just mounts into your doorframe. You don't see it at all. A lot more subtle and hidden. And this is going to let you know if your door is ajar or open or closed. We live here on near a pretty busy street, and on occasion, we have had our door not all the way closed. We thought it was closed, and it was like just a little bit open, and then like a burst of wind came through because we lived in basically a wind tunnel, and our door would come open and my dogs would run outside. And it terrifies me like crazy because we live on such a busy road and our dogs are runners, so it makes me nervous. And now this has a door sense there. If that door is not closed all the way, you can get an alert that lets you know. You can customize that alert to be, you know, a minute or longer, whatever you want to make it. But if your door is not closed all the way, it's going to send you a notification letting you know that before something happens, like your door coming open. So I really, really like the DoorSense modules. That definitely makes me feel a bit better. I would say I wish that was included in HomeKit. They can at least see that open and close status. I see no reason why those DoorSense modules could not be included as part of HomeKit. Because the lock is obviously part of HomeKit, why can't that DoorSense module be part of HomeKit as well and use that as a contact sensor and not require us to put a second contact sensor on the door? So that's one thing I would say I wish the Wi-Fi August would do. Yeah. So we have the DoorSense module. There's a bunch of stuff going on in the August app that is really slick. It has a nice UI, really easy to move between the different locks that you have, easy to unlock and lock. Of course, you have remote connectivity there thanks to the Wi-Fi. You have a activity feed, so you can see anytime your lock is locked or unlocked, whether it's manual or done by a person. You can send out keys to friends and family. If you have someone who cleans your house, you can give them a key, and maybe that key only works Wednesdays at 2 o'clock. Right. So you don't have to worry about anyone accessing your home when they shouldn't. We've had a lot of people worrying about security here. Everything here is fully encrypted. They're using the Bluetooth encryption. They're using TLS inside of the app itself. There's two-factor authentication for signing up for the app or signing into the app, like your phone number. It is actually more secure than a regular deadbolt because you actually get those notifications if it's locked or unlocked. So if you have a regular deadbolt in there and someone picks it or something like that, you don't know it. Maybe you have a contact sensor that lets you know the door is open, but here you actually know if the door is open or closed. You actually get a notification if it is locked or unlocked and how it was unlocked or unlocked, if it was a person or the app. So I think that's a huge benefit as far as security and peace of mind go. There's a lot of things here. I mean, it's a great lock. This is my personal favorite Wi-Fi connected HomeKit lock. We've tried a bunch of different ones, and there's just nothing here that this could do that it doesn't do, other than maybe the contact sensor inside of HomeKit. This also gets overlooked a lot with reviews, but their Apple Watch app is very nice. And I, a lot of times, will run out without my phone, and whether I'm going for like a run or something, or I'm just, I don't know, absent-minded and run out. And if you come back and the door is locked, you can actually unlock it from your watch. And you could do that with HomeKit, but HomeKit has to go like from your device to your home hub, send the control over to your lock, unlock it, and kind of backtrack to let you know. Whereas with the August app, it is near instant because it's a direct Bluetooth connection from the lock to your watch.
Wow.
And I haven't seen any others do that. I think that is very smart, very slick, and it works really well. So their August app on the watch has been kind of a favorite for me. Basic other things to kind of wrap it up, it has auto lock functionality. You can set the time and it'll automatically lock for you if you like to keep things secure. And it has auto unlock. So as you get home, it'll automatically unlock for you. By default, when you come home with HomeKit and you want to kind of unlock your lock, you actually have to run it. You'll get a notification on your phone that says, do you want to run your, like, getting home scene? And you'll say yes, and it'll authenticate and unlock your door for you. Whereas the August one, it just automatically unlocks for you as you arrive home. There are workarounds for the HomeKit one before we get all the tweets and emails. You could set something like a smart plug or a light to come on when you get home, and then set a rule that says whenever that light comes on, unlock your lock. We have seen workarounds like that, which get away from that authentication kind of piece to make that work, but really like the August in general. This is probably my favorite HomeKit kind of Wi-Fi connected lock. The Level lock we compared is fantastic as well, which goes with that hidden root, but the August is great because it allows you to retrofit any lock, and you get a lot more functionality with that Wi-Fi feature than you would with the Level.
Yeah, very cool. Well, there's a link in show notes to Andrew's full review and a video review. You have some great pictures here in the review on Apple Insider 2, the comparison between the new August lock and the previous generation, so you can see the size difference.
It's huge, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty big difference. But the new one, it looks great. And you also have a lot of screenshots here of what the app looks like and using it with Siri. So if you're interested in the August lock, definitely check out the review. The link is in show notes. There's the video review and the full review with a bunch of images. It's a nice front door, by the way. Is that your front door?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. So check that out along with all the reviews that we mentioned in today's episode. And finally, considering we're still talking about doors, tell me about the VocoLink door sensor. They just launched a new HomeKit door sensor.
Yeah, I won't go into a huge review on all this. If you guys are really interested in the door sensor, there's probably a few of you out there that are like, I want to read this for 30 minutes. They can do that. In general, I think door sensors are like hugely underrated in the HomeKit space, and they're typically pretty expensive. I've seen some other ones that are like $40 for these contact sensors. And I think they're so useful that there's a lot more you can do with them than people kind of think about or realize. So I really was excited when they launched this new one. You can get a 2-pack of these for $37, and there's a $3 coupon right now that brings it down to $34 for two of them. So like $16, $17 a piece. I think it's a great deal.
That is awesome.
It's pretty similar to most other HomeKit contact sensors out there. They are Bluetooth. They have a status light on the front, which is actually very, very bright, which can be kind of annoying. People complain about the HomeKit pairing code being on the front of this thing, which I think is obnoxious, but they're so thin that it's almost the only place to put them, because if you put them on the back and they're mounted, you can't get to them. Mm. My solution, of course, was to peel off those stickers immediately and store those codes inside of HomePass.
That's right.
We've talked about that app before, so throw those things into HomePass and don't worry about those stickers on there. But just, I kind of really want to talk about just a few of the things that you can do with these. Put them on your doors and windows, great. Turn on your lights when you open the door, great. You know, be alerted. You check when you leave, if you left a window open, something like that. All those are good ideas, but there's so much more. You could put this on your garage door. So if you have a regular non-HomeKit garage door, if you want to know if it's left open or closed, or get notified when it opens and closes, that's a thing you can do. Those notifications are huge because you could put these on cabinets, on a bar, maybe like a pantry. So if you know your kids are getting out of the junk drawer, if you know if your kids are getting into you know, cleaning pantry with like chemicals in there,
sure,
you want to know if that was open. We did them on the, I put them on blinds actually, and then you know if your blinds are open or closed, and then you can set an automation. Like if you open your blinds, turn on the lights or something like that. So if it's like kind of your morning routine, get out of bed, open your blinds. Whenever you do so, it'll turn on the lights in the room. That's a little thing you could do. There's just a ton that you can do with these, whether you're just looking for the notifications or if you're looking for automating things. There's a lot you can do, and this is such a cheap setup.
So this does not require a hub, right? You can just use the contact sensors.
Yep, these are all Bluetooth, no hub necessary.
Now, my question is, because I want to use a HomeKit door sensor, I was trying to get the Eve HomeKit door sensors to work, which they work fine. They're great. My issue is my front door has weird molding on it.
Uh-huh.
And so I could not get the contact sensor close enough to register. I don't know, maybe I just wasn't patient enough or whatever, but I had to use every single spacer that was in the box. And even then I couldn't get it to work on my front door. It works elsewhere. So how close do these have to be in order for it to read, you know, for them to work?
Okay, so I've got one standing here in front of me. Let's see. It looks like I can be an inch away, like a legitimate inch away, and it's triggering. I think that's a pretty good gap.
Okay.
Minor thing here, too. This is actually a fantastic thing that Vocalink did. These things are so good that you can actually use the magnetic part can be flipped in either direction.
Mm.
Whereas like the Eve one, there's actually a little mark on each side that shows where they have to go together.
Right.
Not only can the magnet part work from either side, but the body, the Bluetooth connector part, that also can work from either side.
Interesting.
So whenever you mount this thing, you can have it on the left or the right, and it does not matter. Flip the bar around either way, it doesn't matter. So it's very versatile in how they can be mounted. And compared to others, like the Eve, this is the thinnest one that I've seen, and that bar is super, super skinny. So we got a super weird door frame too, where like the door is recessed in, and there's like a 3-inch kind of like perpendicular to the door sticking out on the left-hand side where the wall starts, which makes it very hard to put something like a door sensor in there.
Mm.
And I did get the Fibaro one, I want to say. That might have been pretty thin. I can't remember actually which one I used on that front door, because, of course, August doesn't allow that contact sensor to be part of HomeKit, so I needed to add my own door sensor to get that part to work. I did manage to get one to work, and this one would fit there, because there's just literally like a quarter inch of molding that is around that door, and I'm pretty sure I'd be able to get this Vocalink 1 to fit in there. So it's really thin and really narrow on that magnetic portion, and you got about an inch of room there. And you can see because of that status light when it is connecting and disconnecting. And I reliably can be at least an inch away and have it trigger open and closed.
Okay. Well, I just got some.
Nice.
And so I'll let you know if they work on my front door. I mean, it's a great deal. I mean, two contact sensors for $35.
Yeah.
Sweet deal. So there's a link in show notes to Andrew's review as well as the Vocalink contact sensors on Amazon. And you can pick them up there. They're Prime. It's a pretty great deal. So I'm going to try them out. And to round out the show, I'm super excited because we gave away an Eve Cam. Congrats again to Josh White, who won our first Eve Cam giveaway. And now we are getting to give away a second Eve Cam to one of our listeners. And so we're super excited about that. And you enter to win the same way that you did before. If you go to the show notes of this show in your podcast player, or you can go to the article that goes up on appleinsider.com/podcast, just hit the click here to tweet to win an Eve Cam, and it'll pre-populate a tweet for you with a hashtag and our Twitter handles in it, and you'll be entered to win an Eve Cam, and we'll announce the next winner of that giveaway on next week's episode. Is that right, Andrew?
That is right. I'm excited. I love that camera. So excited we get to give another one of these things out. Thank you so much to Eve for doing so. We're just going to randomly pick a person just like last time. You do have to be in the U.S. to win. But other than that, that's one of the few restrictions we've got on this. So I cannot wait to give another one of these things away. Josh posted a picture of his all set up. Eve got it to him in just a few days, and he seemed really excited. So I cannot wait to do another one.
Awesome. So go to the show notes, tap on the link that says tweet to enter to win the EVECAM giveaway. Or again, you can go to the article on appleinsider.com/podcast to be entered to win. And we will announce that winner on next week's episode. Don't forget to tweet your questions with hashtag HomeKit Insider. There's been many of you tweeting questions. We didn't get to them this week, kind of catching up from being back on vacation and up in the mountains, getting my head out of the clouds. So we will get back to those Twitter questions on next week's episode. Don't forget to check out all the links in show notes, EVECAM, August Lock, the VocaLink contact sensors. They're all there, Andrew's reviews and videos. And you can check it all out there with links to the products on Amazon if you'd like to pick them up. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.